Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. If you enjoy this podcast, Real Ghost Stories Online, be sure to check out our other paranormal podcast, The Grave Talks, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday. Just search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of one of this week's episodes of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, Appalachian Horror. John and his son, Elijah Henderson, have spent their lives growing up in the Appalachian region of the United States, a region known for its traditions, superstitions, and cryptids. Today, we dive into the world of ghosts, cryptids, and the unexplained phenomena that has fascinated John and Elijah throughout their lives, leading them on a journey trying to explain the unexplainable.
Anybody that knows me, and I don't know if you've seen any of our videos, anything like that, any of our interviews. We come from a small mountain town in East Tennessee. You know, we're one of those mountain Appalachian families. And growing up in one of those, you grow up with hearing all sorts of stories about haints and creatures in the woods, things of that nature. You grow up around people who are involved in what they would call now granny witches, you know, these old granny women that do certain spells and rituals. So I've been around it all my life, but I guess what really hooked me is an account that my mother and her people had in the 60s when a Sasquatch was stalking around their property and giving them some harassment. It would follow them home on these old long country roads, and It'd stand up on this hillside just out of sight, and it would walk along the bank, and if they ran down the road, it would run. If they stopped, it stopped. If they'd walk, it would walk. You know, they'd see the dirt rolling down the hills, and they didn't really know what it was for a while. But over time, it got to where it would follow them further and faster, and got to where it would follow them up on the back porch and try to get in the house. Now, back in the 60s, most houses in that area of the country didn't have door locks, so they would actually have to run in the house and push the stove or the refrigerator in front of the door to try to keep it out. Now, whatever it was, didn't know how to really shake a doorknob and twist it to get in, but this thing would try to get in the house. And eventually, it commenced appearing in the windows, and they saw it. And then they would see it standing down around by the barn at the lower end of their property. And so they didn't know what it was, and as time progressed, they noticed that some of their livestock was coming up missing. They had hogs disappearing, and they had an uncle of mine who was one of the meanest humans that ever bothered daylight, wasn't afraid of anything. He took one of my other uncles, who was young at the time, and a cousin down to the barn with him. They hid there. They was going to try to catch who was stealing these hogs, and they waited, and they set a trap. And somewhere along evening time or after it got dark, they heard the hogs start going just crazy screaming. And then they saw what they said looked like a big ape come loping out of the woods, and it wandered over to the pig, I guess, corral or stalls, and just reached in and grabbed one of those big hogs, the hogs between 250, 300 or more pounds, and just grabbed its legs and threw it over its shoulders. It wrapped it around its neck, and it walked off back into the woods. So this went on for a while, and one of the cousins even was out riding a horse, and he's running down through the field, and it jumped over this creature laying there asleep out in the field. And when the horse jumped over it, it spooked the creature, and the creature jumped up and spooked the horse. And that cousin wouldn't even go back to the fields to ride anymore for a long, long time. So growing up with these tales, and like I said, a lot of these stories about haints really is what piqued my interest and had me really getting into it. you know, I always had a fascination with it. Mm-hmm. But what clinched me as an adult is we were camping at Montgomery Bell State Park in Tennessee. And Elijah, you'll remember this very well. And the park ranger came around to us and told us, hey, at a certain time, when it gets dark tonight, up here at the little amphitheater we've got set up, we're going to be showing a film called The Legend of Werewolf Springs. And Werewolf Springs was an area on the back side of the park called, well, it's actually called Hall Cemetery, Hall Cemetery Road, or Hall Springs. But everybody's nicknamed it Werewolf Springs because they claim that when the moon is full sometimes, or even when it's just bright enough to see, if you're out there at dark, you'll see like a werewolf creature crossing across the cemetery. Mm-hmm. But they said that they were going to show a film about this. And we watched that, and we didn't really believe in werewolves, dogmen, things of that nature. We thought, hey, I bet that's a Bigfoot. Somebody's just misidentified. So we decided that we were going to go around there to that side of the park and check it out just to see what was what when we found out the exact location. And it was me and my son, my daughter, my wife, one of my nieces, and maybe my sister and my mother, we all went. We were just walking around. We went over there to that side of the park, and I noticed a little trail going off into the woods. And I said, well, let's jump off here. Let's look in the woods for a minute. And we walked through this little field, and there was like some, oh, I don't know, small, youngish pine trees there. And one or two of them were broke off about waist high. You know, and it's not easy to break over a young pine tree, you know, just snap it like that. Mm-hmm. So I was like, well, something's come through here. Let's go see if we see anything. We stepped off into the woods, and we noticed after we got about 50 feet in that there was like a semicircle of turkey feathers there on the ground. It looked like something had caught a turkey and had squatted down literally and was just plucking the feathers out of it because it was in a perfect semicircle. And as we're sitting there puzzling over, you know, what in the world done this with these feathers, a train went off in the distance and it was coming through, and then it blowed the whistle. And Elijah, what happened next?
What happened next is from out of the distance of the forest, we heard what sounded like an 800-pound wolf start to howl in the distance. And it sounded almost like it was in pain, just a mournful howl. But the sheer volume of the howl, it shook through your chest. You could feel it. And it was frankly terrifying. It, I was like, what, five?
Yeah, five or six, something like that.
And, yeah, we started to book it out of there. And interestingly, or humorously, there was a couple of women jogging in the area, and well, they were actually just hiking in the area, but after they heard that noise, they started running back out of there, and they had a baby and a little carrier strapped onto them, and its head, it looked like a bobblehead there, running so fast trying to get out of there.
Yeah, I thought they was going to break that baby's neck trying to get out of there. It was just bouncing it around, and you know, I'd seen that there was like a troop of Boy Scouts that had, I guess, rented like this little lean-to that's a three-sided cabin lean-to in the woods. Mm-hmm. And they were camping out there, and I was like, well, somebody better run and tell these guys that, you know, if they didn't hear that, that they need to be careful. There's some kind of animal out here.
Yeah.
And I went around, and I went up to the guy that looked like he was in charge, and I was like, sir, did you just hear that? And he was like, no, this is a deaf Boy Scout troop. And they just looked like I was trying to be mean, you know, and
yeah,
didn't want to pay any attention because they thought I was making fun. But, man, it was a very terrifying a noise right there. But it really primed our pump and got us interested in Bigfoot again. And it was years later before we really began to accept the possibility that there might be a cryptid like a dog man or something.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any fear, John, when you're out there, you hear this story that they're going to show this movie, this documentary or this movie about part of the park with something very possibly scary in it, and your reaction is to go and explore that part of the park, which I don't blame you, I understand. But is there any fear going through your mind where you're taking your son and your family and all that, and you're going to go start going into the woods a little bit deeper to explore and possibly identify one of these things?
Honestly, no. I didn't have any. You know, my wife will often tell people that I wasn't born with a healthy sense of fear. That's not exactly true. Years ago, I remember I was in first grade, and I was, you know, staying with my uncle, who did some trapping for a living at the time. And I'd have to go out at night with my cousins, who, my goodness, they were torture mavens at best. I had to go out in the dark with them off in the forest to check and run the traps. And they would get me out there, first grade, and then they'd turn off the lights and run off and tell me there was a monster there and it was after me, and they'd run off and leave me in the woods. And after going through that, you know, I eventually got to where I didn't have much fear of anything.
Sure.
So
your threshold of fear, your bar is a lot higher than others in terms of environment and where you're at, where what one may be freaked out by. It's just like, I've been there, done that, and it's a different definition. That's understandable. I mean, that's just conditioning right there. What about you, Elijah? How were you feeling when you put yourself back there in that mindset of being a 5-year-old little boy? And obviously, you know, you when you're that age and your dad or an adult figure is showing you something or taking you somewhere, you obviously, you know, your dad and, you know, everything and anything at that point can also be normal too. You may not be, you know, so surprised by, you know, where he's taking you or exploring because, you know, he has some interest in some of those things. But what was going through your mind that night when you went out into the woods?
Well, the first time that I heard it, I mean, I guess my mind wasn't really open to the fact that anything like that existed.
Mm-hmm.
And hearing that for the first time, it terrified me for years. I wouldn't even go back into that stretch of woods for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
And once we started really getting into Bigfoot research, I mean, I was still very young. I just wouldn't go out with them. I wouldn't go research with them at all. I'd stay back home or just away from it. And it took me many years to really get used to Bigfoot research and anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But once I finally got used to it, I fell in love with it. And now if I hear something in the woods, I just grab a flashlight and just walk off by myself in the woods or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
I almost don't have a healthy sense of fear of that kind of thing on my own now. Yeah, I have to tell him, Elijah, if you hear something outside, do not get up and go in the woods without letting us know you're going. You know, if I'm in bed, you know, let somebody know, because you could fall and hurt yourself out there.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going out there after something, at least let me know you're going.
Yeah, I'm to the point now where I hear something huge breaking off the woods. Oh, see you, Dad. I just start going.
Yeah, we've got one research area where one of these cryptids is alleged to have killed somebody. And, you know, we'll be down there camping out. And I'll have to look around and go, hey, where did Elijah get off to? And then he's way off down in a holler somewhere trying to find it. And I'm like, we probably need to stay together here.
How much of the stories, you know, growing up, and I'll ask you this, John, when you were hearing the stories of, you know, granny witches and haints and things of that nature, you know, Bigfoots, all of that, how much of it were you processing as, you know, this is old lore, this is superstition, you know, it's part of the fabric of where you grew up, of your world, of the culture, you know, and very, you know, well believed for many generations. But as you were coming up, how are you processing all that? Were you believing that those things is real until you started to experience some of them? Or were you just kind of going, you know, these are fun stories of my, you know, where I grew up?
Well, I always accepted it as absolute truth,
okay.
And I'll tell you a couple reasons why.
Yeah. Hope you enjoyed this 15-minute preview of one of this week's two brand new episodes of The Grave Talks. To hear the rest and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday right in your podcast feed, search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe or visit thegravetalks.com.